Have you ever had one of those miss the obvious moments? Maybe your keys or your wallet or your phone. Couldn't find it anywhere. You're getting frantic, looking all over for it. You couldn't find it. Where is it? Oh, I gotta go right now. And you put your hand in your pocket, and there it was all along. I think we all have all had moments like that. In our text this morning, I want you to kind of think of that as we read it. Luke 18, verses 31 to 34. Then he, that is Jesus, took the 12 aside and said to them, "Behold, we are going to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again." But they understood none of these things. The saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. Missing the obvious. The situation of missing the obvious is exactly what I thought of when I first read this text. It's like the disciples had a Where's Waldo book, and they sat there looking at it, right at it, and it's just a big picture, and they just couldn't figure out where Waldo was. They looked over and over, and finally it was pointed out to them. That didn't come till later. It's easy for us to sit here in judgment of these disciples, but I think all too often our eyes are closed to the gospel message as well. Now this text is the traditional pericope text for the last Sunday before Ash Wednesday, called Quinquagisima Sunday. That was this last Sunday. Because it takes place right before they get to Jerusalem for Holy Week. So Jesus is telling his disciples what's coming up because Jesus knows what's going to happen. His whole life has been building to this crescendo of Holy Week when he would go through all the suffering for us. He's been living a completely holy life for the last 33-ish years, and now he knows that the time for his sacrifice is to be made. And so, being the loving friend that he was, he told his disciples what was going to happen. Now we sit here and say, what is wrong with those disciples that they didn't see it? And we kind of have reason to. Luke emphasized it thoroughly. He says, "But they understood none of these things. The saying was hidden from them. They did not know what the things which were spoken." Three times Luke says it. They didn't get it. What was wrong with them? And not only did they not understand, they even opposed the idea. At one time, Peter said to Jesus, "Far be it from you, Lord, that you should go through these things." Peter didn't think it was right for Jesus to go through it all. But Jesus knew that he had to. He knew it was his mission to go through all that suffering and death. And he responded to Peter saying, "Get behind me, Satan." Those are some harsh words. How would you like it if your Lord and Savior told you to get behind you, Satan? Harsh words for a harsh problem. And the problem was that Peter and the other disciples didn't get it. They were too focused on the earthly things. They're expecting Jesus to raise an earthly kingdom. They're expecting the great Son of David to raise up the throne of David and sit on it once again, just like the nation of Israel had been so powerful during the time of David and Solomon. But that was not the kingdom that Jesus had come to set up and rule. A number of days later, when Pontius Pilate was questioning Jesus, he asked Jesus if he was really a king, and Jesus said, "You say rightly that I am a king." But just before that, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Jesus' kingdom is not an earthly thing. Jesus' kingdom is his ongoing ruling activity in our hearts, in your heart, in my heart, in the hearts of all believers. But the disciples failed to see this. I think it's something that we as well fail to see on a daily basis. Too often we're focused on the earthly, worldly things around us. Too often we expect God to bless us here on earth. We expect the earthly blessings to come our way because we're such good people living such good earthly lives. And there's so many distractions as well from the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh that keep us from that gospel, heavenly message that we need to keep focused on. Narrow it down to yesterday's church service. Examine yourself. Did you keep your focus on the message, or were you distracted by people around you looking around in church? Were you listening to the Word of God, or did you sit there reading the announcements in the bulletin? Were you thinking about the words that you were singing, or did you think about what you were going to eat for lunch? And this is just 1 hour a week, supposedly the 1 hour a week that we are most dedicated to our Lord and Savior. We're studying it the hardest. What about at home during the week? Do you study your Bible? Or do you just chalk it up and say, "Well, I go to chapel every day. I don't need to study the scriptures on my own." Does your Bible gather dust as it sits on the shelf at home, showing everyone how you are a Christian? Personal Bible study is one of the most important aspects of our Christian lives. These are the very words of God we have here, and yet so often we treat them like any other book. Or even worse, we spend more time reading other books rather than the good book that our Savior gave us. There's so many ways we could sit here and name them all day that we close our eyes to this gospel message, that we shut out Christ out from our lives. And that's because each one of us here are sinful. The horrible truth is that when you were born, you were in opposition to your Savior. You were His enemy. But then, you were baptized. The Holy Spirit entered your heart. Jesus opened your eyes to see your Savior, to see that you are now a child of God. Jesus opened our eyes through baptism. Jesus lived the perfect life for you. He went through all that suffering that He described to the disciples for you, so that now when you look at your baptism, you can know that you are saved. You know, even though we, like the disciples, close our eyes to the spiritual things, Jesus continues to open them. He does this when we do that personal Bible study, when we grow in our understanding of Scriptures. He does that when we participate in the sacraments, when we reflect on our baptism, or when we receive the Lord's Supper. He also does it through your fellow Christians, when you see that light of Christ shining in their lives, and when you reflect that light as well. Now the disciples continued not understanding through that entire Holy Week, through the resurrection, even up to the day of Ascension. They asked Jesus that day, "Lord, will you at this time restore your kingdom to Israel?" What a facepalm moment that must have been for Jesus. They still didn't understand what was going on. But that's why Jesus had to leave. Jesus knew He had to leave so that He could send His Holy Spirit to them, so that the Holy Spirit could open their eyes to see their Savior on the cross, to see what all the words and sayings He meant to them meant throughout His entire preaching ministry. And so that they could write it down and present that gospel to us as well, so that we too can have our eyes opened through the Scriptures. Jesus opened His disciples' eyes to His true mission on the cross, to be the Savior of the world, and He continues to do that to us as well. Maybe you can think back to one of those missing the obvious moments that you had. We get all frantic and worked up, and it seems like the end of the world because we can't find our car keys or our cell phone. And then imagine the relief you felt when you finally found that thing. Oh, feels a lot better, doesn't it? Well, how much greater is the relief that you receive when we realize that our sins are forgiven, are taken away from us forever because of what Jesus did for us. Thank God that your Savior came into the world to open your eyes, to see your Savior on the cross, and to die for you. In Jesus' name, amen. We will sing hymn 780, verses 1 and 3. 1 and 3 of 780.